This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon and welcome to RCR's Daily Brief. It's Thursday, March 6th, and I'm Megan McNamara. First up, we have the latest headlines with Paul Brennan. We'll then hear from Bob McCoskrie of Family First about the continued indoctrination of children with transgender ideology. And we'll be joined by veteran broadcaster and RCR contributor Peter Williams with his thoughts on the media's obsession with school lunches. And finally, we've got Natalie and RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Trade and Investment Minister Todd McClay expresses concern over potential US tariffs on some New Zealand exports from April 2nd. McClay says the government is not sitting back waiting to see, and that officials are both gathering intelligence and lobbying Washington. Talks with US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick are in the works.
At this stage, we are talking directly to them. We're being open and forthright about the trading relationship. And, we're making preparations in as far as having a better understanding exactly what that trade
picture
looks like.
You're not going to rule out the possibility of our own reciprocal tariffs being on the table.
I think the easier way to put it, so we don't get a great big headline, is we're not ruling it in at this stage, but we're getting advice on everything that's available to us.
Reserve Bank Governor Adrian Orr has said he will step down at the end of March. First appointed in 2018, then reappointed last year, Mr. Orr says he modernised the bank and helped stabilise inflation after COVID. But critics argue his focus on climate change and Māori access to capital distracted him from core economic issues. Meanwhile, the Department of Internal Affairs unveils new tools to crack down on digital extremism. One feature will assign unique codes to banned content, making it easier to track. The Free Speech Union says the measures do not threaten free speech, since they only apply to already prohibited content. Overseas, German borrowing costs surge after Chancellor-in-Waiting Friedrich Merz signs a deal with coalition partners. The deal relaxes the country's strict debt break rules to fund investment in the military and infrastructure. Deutsche Bank economists describe the deal as one of the most historic paradigm shifts in German post-war history. The US cuts off intelligence sharing with Ukraine in a move that could seriously hamper the Ukrainian military's ability to target Russian forces, according to CIA Director John Ratcliffe. CK Hutchison Holdings, the owner of two ports in Panama, strikes a $23 billion deal with US investment giant BlackRock, effectively placing its port under American control. The deal comes after US President Donald Trump accused China of meddling in canal operations earlier this year. And now for RCR Quick Links. Hawke's Bay Regional Council is looking to build a $225 million water storage facility on the Ngarororo River to provide water security. US investor Peter Thiel is now the richest New Zealander after double whammy wealth surge earlier this year. Cyclone Alfred's Edge is now hitting Australia's east coast, with gale force winds affecting areas from Coolangatta to Ballina Thursday morning. And the US Supreme Court rejects Trump administration's push to keep billions in foreign aid frozen. And that's RCR Bytes News for today, Thursday, the 6th of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Paul Brennan interviewed Bob McCoskrie of Family First yesterday. They discussed the government's lackluster progress on removing gender ideology from schools, despite the public voting for this at the last election.
Okay, so the train keeps rolling.
Yeah, I think that's a disappointment because leading up to the election, we were told that people had seen how extreme the relationship sexuality education curriculum was. Erica Stanford said that, you know, parents had expressed concern about the gender ideology that was being pushed. But as we know, relationship sexuality education curriculum has been kind of withdrawn, but nothing has been put in its place. So a lot of schools, the more radical schools, are simply continuing on as where they were before the change of government. But I actually was alerted to the fact that on the and it was a principal, concerned principal, who contacted me to say that the latest advice going out to schools in terms of reporting to parents and whānau which is on the Ministry of Education website, and I checked the date of the last publication. It was last year, so this is not sort of, you know, 2019. They can't say this is historical. But it says under names, pronouns and gender markers, quote, be sensitive about your use of students' preferred names, preferred pronouns and gender markers, and respectful of their privacy. Some students may not use these with their parents and whānau. So once again, Ministry of Education is telling schools and teachers to keep information secret from parents, when in fact, if a child is confused about their gender and is wanting to change their name or wanting to change their pronouns to zzer or they, them or whatever they want, in fact, the ministry is saying, well, don't tell parents about it. And then the Ministry of Education refers to a resource, and of course it's Inside Out resource. And, you know, I mean, that's just adding fuel to the flame in terms of sending them off to radical groups. And look, I think parents should be concerned by this. The interesting thing, Paul, is that according to the Birth, Deaths and Marriages Act, if you know, we've got this fanciful thing that you can change the gender sex on your birth certificate. But if you're under 16, you actually need parental consent to do that. And here we are. A child at school, could be in primary school, and they change their name and say they want to be identified as they, them, and they're non-binary or whatever, and the parents can be excluded from it. I always think it's a huge red flag when the state interferes in the relationship between the child and the parent and excludes the parent. I've always been against that. Same with parental notification for vaccines, same for parental notification for abortions. You know, parents should be involved, whatever the situation. And, you know, to have a child that's confused about their gender and wanting to change their pronouns because of some program they've watched or pressure from other kids, it's, you know, it's just bad news, and the Ministry of Education should be treated with hostility.
Peter Williams joins us now with some biting commentary on the seemingly endless debate about the quality of New Zealand's school lunch program.
I know a little about East Otago High School. It's in Palmerston, a town with a population of just under 1,000, on State Highway 1, about 40 minutes north of Dunedin. My brother-in-law is the soon-to-retire deputy principal, and he was the acting principal for all of last year. As well, my nephew, through my wife's side of the family, was a student there up until around 3 years ago, and his more academically-minded sister was there in years 7 and 8 before decamping to high school in Dunedin. Because of the family connections, we visit Palmerston regularly, although I wouldn't say I'm intimately knowledgeable about the town. But what I do know is that from my observation, people there are mostly honest, hardworking and employed. The entire Waitaki district, of which Palmerston is a part, has just 200 on the job seeker benefit. And as Palmerston accounts for only about 4% of the entire Waitaki district population, it's a fair assumption that the number of job seekers in the town could be measured on the fingers of one hand. Therefore, it's extraordinary that the new principal of East Otago High School, Mrs. Helen Newcomb, should be so vocal complaining about the school lunches delivered to her school. Mrs. Newcomb is quoted in the Otago Daily Times as saying the Prime Minister's very sensible remark about making a Marmite sandwich if you didn't like the school lunch provided was, quote, incredibly disrespectful to students across New Zealand. She then went on to say, quote, for a lot of families, making lunch is doable, but for some of our students, there wouldn't be anything to make lunch from, unquote. The article then states, although it's not attributable to Mrs. Newcomb, that, quote, some families were simply not able to provide Marmite sandwiches, unquote. Now, I've never shouted at a newspaper front page before, but I know nonsense when I see it. This woman is principal of a school with just 171 students in an area which is not poor. The school's equity index is 485, which in the old money made it a decile 4. In other words, its socioeconomic status is just below average. For the new principal to say that for some of her students there wouldn't be anything to make lunch from is either stating that she has a cabal of totally useless and incompetent parents, or a bunch of students who have no capability to buy a few basics from the local Four Square and make their own lunch. Where would they get the money from, you ask? Well, they're useless parents who could surely spare $20 to let the kids buy a couple of loaves of bread, a pack of butter and a jar of Marmite, or preferably Vegemite, because it tastes better. That will take care of school lunches for a week at least. She says the Prime Minister is being incredibly disrespectful to students. Mrs. Newcombe is being incredibly insulting to parents and their offspring. I'm sick and tired of the whinging about school lunches. It's a political hit job led by the teachers' unions. The government should have done away with the entire school lunch program completely when they came to power. Since the start of state education in 1877, children have provided their own lunches. With the modest price of bread and butter and spreads, there is no reason why that arrangement should not continue.
Now let's turn to Natalie with RCR Signpost and all things RCR.
Thanks, Megan. Welcome to The Signpost, guiding you to RCR's standout interviews, bold insights and ways to take positive action. Later today, Lindsay Perigo assesses Trump's extraordinary address to Congress yesterday in Perigo's perspective. Marie Buskey and Marty Gibson look at the controversy over school lunches in Media Matters. And in this week's Kiwi Farm, Shoei Sobrook reveals her grandiose vision for Aotearoa Farm. Don't forget to tune in tonight at 8:30 for RCR 360, in which Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey tackle the controversial issue of gender. And look out for tomorrow's new show, Rachel Stewart's highly anticipated weekly show, Riding Shotgun. In this premiere, she looks at the declining trust in mainstream media. Expect sharp insights, bold perspectives, and plenty to think about. Plus, catch Paul Brennan's interview with Bob McCroskey about the ongoing influence of wokeness in New Zealand schools, workplaces, and professional bodies. And part one of a three-part special rural report, Power Talks, in which energy expert Larry Blair outlines New Zealand's energy struggles and the challenges of importing fuels. Did you know that on the app, you can now toggle between video and audio on the RCR app and website with a simple tap? Just hit the little video camera icon under the player to switch. By default, the episodes will play in video, perfect if you love watching your favorite hosts and guests. But if you're on the go, saving data, or preserving battery, you can tap the icon and enjoy audio-only mode. Seamless listening wherever you go. And that's The Signpost.
And that's all from us at The Daily Brief. You can find all the links to the interviews featured in today's show below. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the show. I'm Megan McNamara for RCR's Daily Brief.